Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hi, and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to be talking about a subject matter that has fascinated, oh gee, with millions of people for a number of years. And what it is, it's going to be, well, I'm going to let the gentleman, Donnell Parks, who is my guest, we're going to let him tell you a little bit about his journey. His book is called Mystery Codes from Ancient Times, Unraveling Connections, Edgar Cayce, Ancient Codes, Delphi Secrets, and More. And I want to welcome to the show Don Parks. Don.
Hello there.
Hi. I'm just doing wonderfully. Now, I've been telling my listeners in preparation for the show today that I've known you for a number of years, and you've had quite a background, and I'm so pleased that you have finally put out a book. And when I got the book, like I do with everyone else, I read it before, you know, having you booked as a guest. And you really put a lot of effort into this, Donald. It really has been quite an accomplishment for you. How long was it before you decided that this is what you were going to do?
Now, that's a big one. It probably took 40 years of study, and then probably about 10 years ago, 8 to 10 years ago, I was giving lectures here and there relating to it, and people wanted my book. And so I finally gave in and started writing the book. And the book probably took some 4 to 6 years to pull it all together. It's bits and pieces I had pulled together over the years.
Now, I'd like people to know a little bit about your background. This is not a technical book, and your expertise is writing technical material. So this was quite a 180-degree shift for you. You have done, 70 documents plus, a lot of professional papers. You've written chapters for 8 different technical books. You have done proposals that have raised $40 million in contract research. You were a human factors research engineer and systems analyst in the aerospace industry. So you were accustomed to really digging for facts. You couldn't do just hypothetical stuff. You really had to dig for this. So this is quite a discipline that you had acquired through these 40 years of expertise.
Well, it took a long time getting here, and actually I didn't intend to, but it worked out that way, mainly because I got a surprise on a business trip to Wichita one day. And I stopped in the airport there, and in those days, that wasn't much more than a bus terminal, a small
mm-hmm.
bus terminal. And so there wasn't much of a magazine stand either, but I was bored. I had a 3.5-4 hour layover. And looking for something to read. My work was done. I was out all under control, just sitting there twiddling my thumbs. So I finally decided to go take a look at the book stand. And there wasn't much there, frankly. It was not much more than you find in a small drugstore today. But there was one title I kept coming back to called The Sleeping Prophet. Now, that puzzled me. Then I picked it up and looked at the back, and it sounded like science fiction. So, what the heck, I had 3.5 hours. I could probably finish at that time. And it looked like it was well written.
Mm-hmm.
So I bought it. And it was more than science fiction. They claimed this guy was real, Edgar Cayce.
Mm-hmm.
That he did wonderful things, reading, making psychic readings in his sleep, in hypnotic sleep, over the years. And a lot of medical readings that are always confirmed if they follow the instruction. Historical readings about different issues. And good thoughts for how to build yourself, build your future. Well, there's some of them I did not believe in any way, shape, or form. One of them had to do with reincarnation. He said it was in the Bible. I knew better. I'd read the Bible a couple of times. One of them had to do with ancient Atlantis, which I considered to be a nice fiction. And one had to do with ESP and the fact that we all had it and all could develop it. So I set out to prove that author and that guy were a total fraud. And that's what started the whole thing.
What a journey. Now, here you are in an airport. You pick up one book, mm-hmm. and it leads you on a journey that not only transforms your thinking, but enabled you to utilize your own research talents and your discipline for going for accuracy and fact. And you were given this challenge, and you said, I'm going to take this on. I just have to really go after this to see how much I can disprove this. Now, that is a tremendous, tremendous step, Don. That's a giant step.
Well, it didn't seem like that to me. It's just that I felt a lot of people are going to read that and believe it and be fooled.
Ah, so yeah. You were going to protect others.
Well, that was my purpose. I figured I'd have a couple of studies, a few days, maybe a few months, and I'd have it disproven, and it'd all be over, and I would have helped a lot of people.
Ah, yes. But it didn't end up that way, did it?
No, I didn't. I confirmed everything that guy said.
You confirmed everything he said. Now, that is a big statement in and of itself, right there. Mm-hmm. Let's take a little bit of time to talk about Edgar Cayce, because some of my listeners may be well aware of him, and others may not. And I will have to share with you that Jess Stern's publications on Edgar Cayce, who I believe was the author of The Sleeping Prophet,
right. This
is a man who, not unlike you, was so curious, but he really got to know Edgar Cayce quite well. He became a very good friend of his. And Jess Stern is a man who published a great deal of material on metaphysics, not just about Edgar Cayce, but his book on Edgar Cayce really brought him into the forefront of the public eye in a way and manner that I don't even think that he realized it would affect his life the way that it did. Let's talk about Edgar Cayce a little bit. In your research, and I know Jeff Stern wrote a lot about this, but what did you find out about the younger Cayce? Because his story is a fascinating one.
Yeah, it is more than fascinating. It's unbelievable. He started out, he was a farm kid in southwestern Kentucky, right on the border there. And he was a strange one. And he was not a good student. And, in fact, his uncle was his teacher and sent a note home with the kid one day saying, this kid came in even snow cabin. And so the dad was giving the woodshed treatment. And they were in the kitchen, and he, from the spell cabin, closed the book and instantly forget it. And then, finally, the kid heard this voice that said, lay your head on the book for a minute. So he talked his dad into a break. Dad went out in the other room. He laid his head on the book. When Dad came back, he was very angry. This kid was asleep on his book, and he wasn't doing the work. So he was all ready to get serious with this woodshed treatment and get physical. And the kid says, just a minute, let me spell the word again. So he asked him to spell the word. He spelled it, cabin. And it turned out he could spell every word in that book. Knew every page in that book where they're located, the whole work. He had that book totally memorized just from laying on it for a little while. Other things like that happened when he was a kid. Then as he grew up, became an adult, he started in sales work. And he was doing pretty good until he lost his voice. And nothing worked. They had specialists from all over the area. No one could help him. So finally a hypnotist came through town. And he could get him to talk while he was under, but the minute he took him out of the trance, his voice was gone. But a local guy that was studying to be an medical doctor, the bone crusher guy, and this guy was having trouble understanding what it was all about, but he was very intrigued. So he noticed there's one thing that he got to the point and wouldn't go any further. So he springs to get a setting with Cayce, and he'd taken hypnosis in his courses, and he put him under. He got him to this one point. He says, okay, now you take over and do whatever's necessary. And he heard this voice that said, tell the body to increase the flow of blood to the throat. So he did. And after about 15 minutes, he said, okay, now the throat was blood red. He said, now tell the body to relax. He did. When he woke up, he could talk. But they learned something. And then this guy, whose name was Lane, Hal Lane, said, hey, that was pretty good. Now, can you do that for me? Well, he didn't want to do that. So he finally talked them into it. It took quite a while. And he finally agreed. He said, I've taken enough courses. And so I want to know if something's wrong. So he did it. And Lane put him under, and he gave him a reading. When he came out, Lane was elated because he had told him exactly what was wrong. Lane knew it for the symptoms, and the other doctor said he needed to take an emergency appendix out. Now, bear in mind, we're talking the late 1800s or early 1900s.
Mm-hmm.
At that time, an appendix operation was a very, very serious operation.
Any operation was serious at that time.
You can say that again. So all he had to do was change his diet. Need to say he was happy as a clam and I died. And so he started doing some other things. Edgar was reluctant all the way. And everything was pretty much normal until finally the superintendent of school's daughter had a debilitating thing and they didn't know what it was. Doctors couldn't help her or anything. But somehow they heard about Casey. And Lane set up a session. Casey went and read for it. And he said that she had had a fall on the carriage, fall on her behind, as about a three-year-old kid. And that all it would take was an adjustment of the spine. Well, when he came to, the parents were elated because they remembered that fall. And Casey had said there were germs they located in that area, and if she didn't get squared away, that she would go mad and die. Well, they made the adjustments. The kid got well. She caught up with her schoolmates in a couple of years, and all was good again. Well, that set him off on a trail that he could never turn off of.
Mm-hmm.
And it grew. And the only thing that made him nervous is he wanted a doctor, a real doctor, not a mail-order doctor, to be involved in his readings because he wasn't afraid that he'd say something that someone would be hurt seriously. So he finally found one. There was a homeopathic doctor came to town from the north. Now, this was interesting. This we're talking about the South, Reconstruction of the South, after the Civil War.
Mm-hmm.
The Knight Riders were still working the area. In fact, one of the books about him tells them that they'd burn out a tobacco warehouse not too far away during this time period. So here's this guy from the north comes to town. And everyone was wondering about him. No doctor wanted to refer to him. People were reluctant to go to this Yankee. And so the only referrals he got were those the doctors that gave up a hope for. They didn't want the guy to die on their watch. Well, this guy didn't know what to do. Till one day, the janitor said, you ought to talk to the boss. He said, who's the boss? Edgar Casey. So he finally gave up and went and talked to him. Casey told him what to do. And he tried it. It worked. So this was stage two. But there were some things done by this doctor that turned Casey off. So he finally insisted that all of the readings had to be recorded by a court stenographer.
Mm-hmm.
From that day forward, every reading was done by a stenographer. As a result, there were over 14,000 readings covering health, spiritual development, reincarnation, past lives, astrology, business situations, you name it, it's in there. And those are the readings that I was challenging. So I set out to prove that he was wrong on three counts, reincarnation and Atlantis and ESP.
Now, the Edgar Casey Foundation, for my listeners, I'm sure many of them are familiar with it. That's in Virginia Beach, Virginia. And I have had the opportunity to be there a couple of times. And you have access, if you go back to Virginia Beach, to research this material. And they have speakers there. They have all kinds of activities going on. Did you go back there, Don?
I've been back there several times.
Yes, to do your research. I would
yep.
imagine you had to be. Let's touch on a subject that you have just brought up, and that is Atlantis. Now, there is so much that's being discovered today with our technology that there is a great deal that Edgar Casey had talked about regarding this time frame and that we were going to be rediscovering areas of the world that had actually at one time been above ground, you know, where earthquakes had not caused it to go under or volcanic situations. This is something that is increasingly becoming more and more interesting. And you mentioned something in your book, let me digress for a minute, about cave art. So let's talk about Atlantis first, because Atlantis, the way people have thought of it, and I believe it was Plato that wrote about Atlantis, there has been some documentary information that has been passed down through the centuries, thousands of years old, but they are discovering that there is a lot out there that is a lot older than they ever imagined, and that is really tough for a lot of people in archaeology that have established paradigms to deal with. What's some of the latest information that you have found out about, Don, regarding Atlantis?
Well, where do I start? Let's begin by taking something that we unconsciously assume. We think all that came before us are dumber than us. So we're the smart ones. And unfortunately, there's evidence that that's not true. We once progressed to a very high level of civilization, and then we destroyed it.
Mm-hmm.
And there are remnants of that still around. But we don't recognize them. We're looking right at them and not recognizing them. It took a high civilization to do that. We know it took someone. We're figuring it was someone from outer space. It didn't have to be.
Right.
Everything that they did, we could do now, except one. And I think we'll soon know that one. For example, the pyramids in Egypt. They're aligned with such an accuracy that we don't even get that today. The highest attempt to get accuracy was at the Eiffel Tower in France. It's off a couple of degrees. The pyramids are lined up to a fraction of a degree, a small fraction of a degree. Now, isn't that interesting?
Oh, it's absolutely amazing. And they are realizing that they're a lot older. There's a lot of discovery in Egypt that is bringing up some tremendous dilemmas for a lot of the established thought.
Yeah, but if they open their mind to the possibility, it would totally change their outlook and it would fit their concepts. So it's a matter of getting over our biases.
Mm-hmm.
And archaeology is like everyone else. They get a set thought going, a set theory. They're reluctant to change it. Well, that's part of science. You don't throw it out till it's proven wrong. But there's a resistance to change that goes with that, which is not always good. Now, there are other areas, too, that we can point to. Like, everyone's heard of the monoliths, or not the monoliths, but the walls down in South America, where they fit together so tightly that you can't get a knife blade in between them.
Mm-hmm.
And yet they're irregular, odd patterns, like jigsaw puzzles. Now, the interesting thing here, there are two or three. One, as they had to haul those several miles, although they weigh as much as 500 tons, we can't lift that today. And they fitted them together with such accuracy. Now, we could do that with a laser beam. We could cut it to that accuracy with a laser beam. So Casey said they did have something like the we have to realize is a laser now,
mm-hmm,
back in ancient times. So that's interesting. The other one is there are statues in Central America that look like Africans. They have the features, the facial features of Africans. That's interesting. And then we have the Thor Heyerdahl journey about the across the Atlantic way back in the 50s, 60s. And he built a boat out of reeds and sailed across the Atlantic. In the upper Andes, the natives make such boats. They use them to fish out of. So all these little bits and pieces fit together to say, hey, we've been here before. The only thing I could say, let's hope we don't blow it this time.
Well, I concur with that. Now, the Pyrenees, you talked about this area. It's the home of the Basque people, and the facts about the Basque people are unless you're born in the Basque family, you are not able to learn the language. This is a very, very difficult language, and it's a very, very old language. What is it you discovered about the Basque people?
Well, let's start out with what Casey said there. He said they are remnants of the Atlantean refugees. And their tradition is that they came from the west, which would put them in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean, which is where Atlantis is supposed to have been. And the language passed down, as I just recently found out about that, is the language is also common to, or writing at least, common to southwestern Ireland. And I forget the name offhand, but it's a series of slashes and stripes, and all lines And this is the writing that has passed down from ancient times. So that's one thing. The language itself is so close-knit, and the people are so close-knit, that no one's ever been able to overrun them. And for a long time, it was worth a Spaniard's life to go into that area alone. So they're right on the border between France and Spain, living in the Pyrenees Mountains. They're still very independent. You'll still read them about the paper ever so often. So their tradition is that they are descendants of the Atlanteans, in case you said they were.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still looking for more information on that one, but so far, it seems to be credible. And the language, by the way, is called Ogham, O-G-H-U-M. And that's the kind of writing. And you can go on the Internet and find samples of that writing and discussions of it. They don't necessarily agree with me, but that's all right. That's part of what research is about.
That is true. And there is so much that's going on today because we now have technology that enables us to communicate and do all kinds of information. There are these phenomenal building formations that have been found off, I forget what coast in Japan, and it was found by a man, and he said, these things are massive. We just, nobody ever realized what they were. They can see a face. It's been put on programming. The people that have been there as archaeologists have just been absolutely astonished by what they have found. And they finally are beginning to acknowledge that the global trade that we have talked about so much in our era was very much existent throughout the world centuries ago. Thousands of years ago.
There's a good sign that it was far more than we ever could realize, even dream of today.
Mm-hmm.
There's a man named David Hatcher Childress that wrote books about several parts of the world. He wrote a lot about this part of the world. Now, interestingly, in his wanders, he wandered around the South Pacific, all that area, just doing research. He's kind of an amateur archaeologist at the day, and looking into different things. Well, he found two things that fascinated me. One, in a museum in Eastern Australia, he found a little pin, which suddenly struck me as being very much like a cartouche, which is the Egyptian name thing. And then he found the Egyptian cross, the Ankh, on Easter Island, carved on the back of one of the heads. Now, how in the world did these signs of Egypt get to that part of the world?
Mm-hmm.
Unless there was trade. There had to be trade in that part of the world. Then you take a look at biblical records. Solomon's Mines, where they found these tremendous sources of precious minerals and jewels. Excuse me. Hiram would go to sea, go out and explore these mines, dig the stuff, and come back. According to Childress, it took about 3 years to do that.
Mm-hmm.
If you follow the currents out of the Mediterranean down around Africa and up to Australia and allow for mining and then go back, it takes about 3 years. It would take about 3 years with the boats and the technology of that time period. And, of course, we were finding all kinds of precious jewels, metals, and what have you, in Australia, northern Australia. And there's another thing. Constantly, I know we're talking about Australia. And this relates to the Bible, I think. There is a crocodile, a saltwater crocodile, off the coast of Australia and up through the Indonesian Islands, that goes to as much as 20 feet long. Now, 20 feet's a pretty good size for a crocodile. And it's pretty fierce. It also can go up the old rivers, so it's both salt and fresh water. Now, if you go to look at the Bible, you see an animal called Leviathan. It talks about the armor and how the scales fit together so well and how ferocious it is and how no man can penetrate it with an arrow or a spear or what have you. So it was very hazardous to try to even deal with that. Very detailed descriptions in the Bible. I think that Leviathan was a crocodile that was discovered by those people who were sailing around mining in the South Pacific, for what it's worth.
Also in your book, Don, you've done a lot of personal exploration into ESP. I, like you, believe that this is a natural inherent faculty that we have. And you go into quite a few of your own personal experiences. And Edgar Cayce said, everyone has it, anyone can learn to work with it. So I think we're both in agreement on this. You wanted to be able to work with this, and I know we've got a few minutes here. Well, what for you was the most profound experience that comes into your mind regarding extrasensory perception?
Well, the fact that it can happen. I couldn't be a good researcher critic if I didn't try it for myself. So I explored, and I didn't believe most of what I was reading until I finally went to a little psychic fair that was being conducted. And I had this one reader, and she was probably the one that really ticked me off on this. She had two hits, at least, on me. She said I'd have two major, very important job offers within a short time period. I did, within 3 weeks. And then, so that was point one. The second one was where I took classes on developing ESP. And here I got a double whammy. It turns out that I learned how to see auras, and we were paired off, and we do different things that are in the ESP community. But one young lady, when the class first started, she came in, a very attractive, tall, dark-headed girl, and I couldn't figure out where I knew her from. So at the end of the class, we were all supposed to give a reading for each other, and my readings kept falling through until finally they said, this lady is having doing a movie for us, advertising our products, Saturday afternoon. Can you come? I said, sure. We had had three classes so far, but this is the fourth time. I walked in, sat down, because they were going to be a few minutes. Guess who walked in? It's that young lady.
Mm-hmm.
Now, she picked up, and this is the thing that really got me. She picked up on, she called it leprechauns and Brigadoon. Now, what about leprechauns? Well, you know, they had funny little hats and belts with big buckles and short pants and buckles on their shoes and all that type of thing. Well, that's interesting. And then what about Brigadoon? Well, she didn't know anything about that. So I turned and asked the reader. She was our teacher. She was going to assist us or help us understand what was happening. I said, where do I know her from? She said, you were together in Roanoke Island. You were part of the Lost Colony. Oh, my gosh. That fit the leprechauns. The funny buckle shoes, the funny hats, the short pants, the
mm-hmm.
overalls. It fit. So that was another area for research. And I've been researching that. In fact, I'm starting my second book on that one right now. What in the world happened in that colony? As you may know, they were Sir Walter Raleigh's first colony in this country.
Mm-hmm.
And they disappeared. What happened? The boat went back to England for supplies. But when they came back, they were held up by the battle with the Spanish Armada. 3 years later, they came back, and the people were gone. And they never did find them. They have no idea, even today, what happened to those people.
Well, that's going to be a fascinating journey for you to do research on. A lot of other people have shared that same interest. You have a quote in your book, Don, and I know we're coming to a close with our conversation today. It's by William James, a pioneering Harvard professor of psychology and researcher into psychic phenomena. He stated, it only takes one white crow to prove that not all crows are black. And I think that's one of the most positive statements regarding this time, this era that we're in. We are learning that not all crows are black, and consequently it's expanding our thinking a great deal. Now, your book, Mystery Codes from Ancient Times, you've got a lot of research material in here, but it's easy reading for anyone. It's interesting reading. And if you'd like to get Don's book, if you'd like to find out more about it, it is on Amazon.com, but you can go to his website and find out more. It's Donald L. Parks, DonaldLParks.com. And you will find all of this information. His book is really fascinating, and it will give you a lot of what I'd call mental meat to chew on. And if nothing else, it might spur you to begin a journey that will take you into areas of discovery, self-discovery perhaps, but more than that, making you realize that not everything is told truthfully in history books, as we have often been encouraged to believe. We have to be willing to question. We have to be willing to find out what's there, and that's exactly what Donald Parks has done. Don, thanks ever so much for being my guest today.
You're welcome. Could I add one thing?
Yes.
I have a P.O. Box, number 53011.
Mm-hmm.
Bellevue, Washington, 98015-3011. And I'll take letters there, too.
Okay.
And if you want to order one there, I'm selling the books for postage and in and everything for $30.
Okay, that's terrific. Well, you've heard it from Don. And again, go to his website, because you can find a lot of information there. Donald L. Parks. This is a man who's got a lot of technical background behind him, and he's done his homework. This is Thank You Again, Don, for being my guest. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. Don't go anywhere. I've got lots of good things to share with you today. We'll be right back.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to TTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, TTAP.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's TTAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717. TTAP.com.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website. Go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo, and yes, telephone lines are now open, so if you'd like to call in and chat with me, I'd be delighted to light up your life with some intuitive insight. Telephone numbers here are 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. Canadians, 888-815-9756, 888-815-9756. Also, we have a direct line of 503-876-3222. All three lines are open and available right now. So if you'd like to have me give you some insights, just give me a buzz. All I need from you is your first name or your initial. And of course, I always like to know where you're calling from. Let me tell you what I perceive, and then after that, you can ask me about anything that you like. So again, 877-876-5227, 888-815-9756. And 530-876-3222. Quick like a bunny, I do want to remind you, tomorrow evening we are holding a class regarding glyconutrients. You hear me talking about it just about every day on the show. And this is a meeting that I'm going to be discussing that. I'll be discussing some material from Teresa Tapp, the TTAP exercise program, which I think is absolutely one of the best things that anybody has ever developed. She's just a wonderful person. and her physical fitness program works. It's just wonderful, so I'll have material on that. I'm also going to be sharing in this in the evening's activities tomorrow evening. I will be sharing some of the latest research on medicine that has come forth. It's been validated by studies and everything. So it's just going to be a wonderful, wonderful meeting. Lots of nice people. This is being held in the area of Tacoma, Washington. So if you are in the Washington area, you would like to attend, call my office. I'll give you the address. And it's going to be at 7 o'clock tomorrow evening. And we're looking to have a nice group of people. So I invite you to come along if you'd like to do that. Again, give me a call at my office, 800-872-8852. Well, I wanted to also mention on December 13th in Tacoma, Washington, there is going to be a Dickens event. Yes, Dickens Fair type of event. And we did this last year, and I was invited to be a guest, and I just had a wonderful time. Did many consultations, was able to wear my costume, and just had a wonderful, wonderful time again. So I will be giving you information as that comes about. So as we get closer and closer, I've just gotten a call. They are inviting me to participate in this wonderful event. It's on December the 13th, which is a Saturday. So it'll be fun, costumes, and anytime you get a chance to dress up, it's always, always great. Well, I wanted to share some different points of information with you. One batch of information that I received just recently, which I absolutely love, is about TCM. Now, that's an abbreviation for traditional Chinese medicine. And it's been wonderful to see how we finally are becoming more and more open about the use of this wonderful, vast store of knowledge that's been around for thousands and thousands of years and integrating it into Western medicine. So I'm going to be sharing that with you today. But meanwhile, we've got a caller. Let's go to our first caller. First name or initial, please, and where are you calling from?
My name is Celeste. And I'm calling from Hawaii.
Where in Hawaii? Are you on Oahu or on the Big Island?
No, I'm on Kauai.
Kauai. Oh, that is such a beautiful place. One of my dreams is to be able to go there. I have friends that have visited Kauai, and it's everything they tell me. The pictures I've seen, it's just breathtakingly gorgeous.
They are beautiful.
Well, let me give you my impressions, Celeste, and then after that, you can ask me a question.
Okay.
All right. Now, Celeste, the first thing I'm looking at is that I want you to let the tears of the past dry. I'm seeing you walking, and it's as if I see these very delicate tears coming out of your eyes and gently coming down your cheeks. And I look at this, and there is something you've not been able to release. Why, I'm not sure, and it really isn't important. But what I'd like for you to do, whenever you get what I call a memory throwback that causes this regurgitating of a moment of the past, what you want to do is to bring it out, whether it's through writing, through speaking. You can go down to the ocean and just stand in the water and give it to the water. Or maybe do some kind of a ritual that would be meaningful to you. It could be creating a wonderful arrangement of flowers and allowing this mental regurgitation to be given as a gift with the flowers to go out and to be dissipated. That may sound very romantic, but I mean it sincerely. You must let the tears disappear. The memory, the value of whatever that experience that causes the tears still to come to the eyes and to the heart, that will be retained by you, but you don't need to carry the burden of grief, of sadness. That is no longer necessary. Now, when I'm watching you, I'm seeing you coming over to the mainland area on a fairly frequent basis. I think that there is a whole new direction that's opening up for you in a career potential, and I'm looking at you being a trainer, a teacher, that is going to empower other individuals through your skills to reach what I'd call a better understanding of themselves and also how they are going to be able to pass along what you know. Now, you have some very special people that have been in your life. couple of them have passed away, and yet you feel like they're around you very strongly. You are going to honor and respect the wisdom that these people passed along to you by passing along to others. But you are going to be able to do it in a way and manner that fits the times. And I really respect and appreciate this a great deal. And you're going to think it through very carefully. You've got a rough year coming up, I think, in 2009, because there are conditions of the past that you have gotten into a habit with, and you haven't known how to merge into the new direction that really is where you belong. And it doesn't mean you cannot honor and respect what you love and move, and, you know, still move forward. You can do both. But you're having a transition period, and there are a few people that are in your environment that really don't want you to change. They don't want you outside of their environment. They don't want you to be in a totally new space. They are very much afraid of being left behind. You need to make it okay that they're going to be able to make it through your changes, because that's their job, their responsibility to do. And you need to know that 2009 is the year that is going to motivate you, that is going to give you the impetus that you need to move forward. And that is extremely important for you. That is very important for you. You, if you delay in making your shift into where you really want to be, it seems like you just will feel like your life is nothing more than a gigantic pool of quicksand. And shallow or deep, it doesn't make any difference. You just can't seem to move forward. So you're dealing a lot with the past, and you just, and this is more on an emotional, mental level. So this is going to be clearing through 2009, and that's why I think 2009 is going to be a little tough on you, because it is going to mean you have to cut what I might describe as an umbilical cord that is linking you to a number of people, make the cut, and still know that you'll have the connection, but it's going to be very different. You're making some big, big steps of change. 2009 is going to be the year where you're going to be making some very significant choices. What's on your mind, Celeste? What would you like to ask me?
Well, I'm kind of blown away with what you just said.
How so? Why are you blown away?
Well, I'm aware of the transition that I'm to make. I'm not sure what direction to go in. I'm in a healing period of time. I had a work accident with my shoulders earlier this year, and I'm still strengthening my shoulders and neck.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm not exactly needing to decide now what to do or what direction to go in, but that will come soon. And I'm also dealing with my only son, who was living with his father. We were divorced years ago. And his father, and he had a huge meltdown. And the father went to the police, and my son is in jail now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's allowing him to stop what he was doing and look, you know, to see what changes he can make. So,
how old is your son?
He's 22.
He's 22. Have you had a chance to visit him while he's in jail?
I've visited twice. He had me blocked out of his life for 7 years, and he decided to open up to me again.
Wonderful, because I'll tell you, by him doing that, he made such a major step. Your son, and this may be a little bit difficult for you to be comfortable with, your son really deliberately set up the whole situation that he got himself into. He did not know how to go into what I will describe as his own manhood in an easy way. So he put himself into a scenario that demanded that his father, one, relinquish the, what I would call, the hold over him to a degree, But he didn't do it in a very smart way. But we all go through our lessons of learning. I think your son is going to be an incredibly powerful individual. So I don't see, I'm not condoning whatever he was involved with or whatever he's done. I'm merely saying your son set this up for a big wake-up call. And the fact that he opened up the communication with you is because he is aware that you're a very significant link. Now, Celeste, I have to take a break here, Dare. Will you stay with me?
Yes.
All right. We're going to be back with Celeste, and if you want to give me a call, 877-876-5227 or 888-815-9756. We're taking a break. We'll be right back.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272. To Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Ged Rose. Buy it today. 800-872-8852.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo, and we're going to be going back to Celeste. And as soon as the line's cleared, you're welcome to call at 877-876-5227 or 888-815-9756. Celeste.
Yes,
dear. What I wanted to finish telling you about your son is that you have a chance to visit with him occasionally. Don't take on his burden. And I honestly don't know if this is what the tears are about, breaking with the past. Could be. Could be a series of things, breaking with the past. But when you're with him, don't tell him what to do. Ask him what he thinks he should do. And I would encourage him to look at going on with education, because I think he's going to have a great deal of involvement with children. And when I say children, I should say young adults, because he really has a communication capacity with young adults that I think is incredibly wonderful. So your son is going to make a significant difference in the world. But whenever you're with him, and he's talking to you about things and about conditions and about variables, say, gee, what do you think you should do about this? And ask him if community service were offered to him, would he do that? Would he be willing to work in environments of young people who are troubled? And would this be something that he might give some consideration to? Because I'm seeing a courtroom appearance, and I'm looking at a judge, it's dependent on how he presents himself, who's really going to want to see him make something better of his life. And I'm looking at him having an opportunity within a very short period of time, could be just within the next few weeks, where where he would not have to be in jail. But this is something that he is going to have to explore himself.
Okay.
So he's not been taught how to think. He really hasn't wanted to be bothered with it anyway, but, I mean, this is just something that as the woman in his life is his mother, though you have not been in communication, he doesn't know you, and you want to encourage him to think, because that hasn't been a requirement.
Yes.
So don't try to give him answers. Ask him questions instead of giving him answers.
Okay.
Does that help you?
Yes, I know that he is giving me the name of his parole officer who is participating in carrying out a mental health and emotional health evaluation.
Mm-hmm.
And there are some things that need to be communicated about the past. I mean, in terms of difficulty in getting a single diagnosis, there's been so many different diagnoses. You know.
Well, I think there is a lack of understanding, and I think there are many different avenues. Do you have any kahunas on Kauai?
Yes.
I would encourage you to be in touch with some of the kahunas. And with the one, I'm seeing a woman, very compassionate woman. I like her. She's a woman of size. But I just like her directness. She has this strong masculine energy about her that gives her such strength. And she's a woman of integrity. She is known, at least as I'm perceiving it, as a woman of compassion. But you don't play games with this lady. This is not someone that will allow anyone to get away with a lie.
Can you tell if it's my kumuhula?
I would ask. I would ask. I am not able to tell at this moment. All I know is that I think a lot of what has been stated about your son is not true. And I think there are things that he needs to be made aware of. I think there is a chemical imbalance, but I think this can be remedied. And I'm not saying this to you just to say woo-woo stuff. I really mean this sincerely. So she would be able to really get clarity for him. And I think it also would culturally enable him to feel a grounding.
Has she met him before?
That I'm not able to answer. My first impression would be no.
Okay.
And I think that that's very important. Now, there is someone on the island of Hawaii, or someone that I'm aware of, that might be able to give you some insight, but you'd need to call me at my office because I'll have to go through my library to get the contact information.
Okay. Could you give me your office number?
Sure. The office number is 800-872-8852. Mm-hmm. The other number is 253-582-5604.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You are very welcome, and I know it'll work out well.
Thank you.
You're welcome, dear. Thank you for calling in.
Yes.
Bye-bye. This is Donna Sebo. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. In the meanwhile, I wanted to let you know who's going to be a guest on my show tomorrow. We're going to be talking about basketball. I have such an appreciation for the disciplines of sports, and I have always enjoyed physical activity. I used to be an avid swimmer. I'm an avid walker and have been for years. But this is about basketball, about the world of women's basketball. A dynamic woman by the name of Christine Baker, who's one of the top coaches in the United States, her publication is called Why She Plays. And what I love about this is the passion she has for the sport and how she is making a difference in young women's lives. There are so many ways where we can reach young people, teaching them how to be with integrity in their life, teaching them the value of discipline. And sports can be so much fun. It's also a lot of work, but there is that magic word, passion, and we're going to be talking about that. And then next week, I wanted to give you a heads up on what's going on next week. We're going to be talking about Unearthing Ancient America, Stand 2, A Journey to Manhood, Cancer Caregiving A to Z, In the Mind's Eye, and this is about rock wall art in caves, thousands and thousands and thousands of years old, and health and disease symbology. We have just such wonderful, wonderful people, and I'm so delighted to be able to share them with you here on bbsradio.com on the Donna Sebo Show. And I want to thank those of you who are sending me these wonderful email stories. Oh, I've just gotten so much terrific stuff, and I wish I could share everything, but that's not always possible. So I try to archive it so I can pull it up whenever I want it. But I want you to know you are appreciated. And if you've got a special recipe for the holidays you want to share, send it along. My goodness, we're out of time. I'm going to try to get to T. TCM, traditional Chinese medicine. I've got such wonderful material that I wanted to share with you about that. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. There is so much in this world to know. There is so much we can learn. But the joy is there's always something else where we can expand the knowledge we have, become wiser, become more sophisticated, and make a difference in life with the willingness to be able to learn new things. This is a fabulous day of your life. Enjoy it. Live it. Enjoy. We'll be back here, same time, same place, right on bbsradio.com. This is Donna Sebo. Talk with you tomorrow. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.